From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. One in five North Texas adults are illiterate. In a few minutes, we'll hear from one man who learned how to read at 51 years old. We'll start with Eric Williams, who was sentenced to death today. Williams was convicted of killing Cynthia McClellan, wife of the Kaufman County District Attorney, last year. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports on the verdict and what's next for Williams, who's also charged with killing her husband, Mike McClellan, and his top assistant.
Prosecutors called the crime calculated and cold-blooded, and the jury's sentence is the harshest the law permits. Jurors spent about 3 hours between the end of Tuesday and Wednesday morning before deciding on execution. Former Dallas Assistant DA Barry Sorrells watched the case in the courtroom and online. He wasn't surprised by the sentence.
Eric Williams is a true serial killer, sadistic psychopath. He is one of the most dangerous sadistic killers that I've seen in the time that I've been practicing law.
Sorrells didn't base his assessment on just the deaths in this case. There were other incidents mentioned in the trial, like a threat against a woman he used to date. He later saw her at a conference.
He told her that he had a gun and he showed it to her. He invited her to go to dinner. She refused. And he said, well, if you walk away, you know, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to kill you.
Judge Michael Snipes said from the bench that Williams would have killed two other victims if he had the chance. Snipes compared Williams to some of this country's most infamous serial killers.
That puts you right there with Charles Manson, Jeffrey Dahmer, and Richard Speck.
The outcome of this case puts an exclamation mark on incoming Dallas DA Susan Hawk's decision to make Bill Wersky her first assistant. Wersky was a prosecutor in the Williams trial.
The fact that he was appointed to be special prosecutor on that case does not surprise me because of his skill. When he understands what his job is to seek justice, he would not have participated in seeking the death penalty against an individual unless he believed that individual was worthy of that type of sentence.
Attorney Sorrells says Williams' execution by lethal injection will be years away because of automatic appeals in death penalty cases. Williams' estranged wife, Kim, who testified against her husband, also stands accused of these murders. That case hasn't been scheduled. It's also unclear if Eric Williams will be tried in the murders of Kaufman DA McClellan or Assistant DA Hassey. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Census data suggests that America will soon be a country with no racial majority. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with demographer William Fry about why immigration is only part of the story.
Up until maybe 5 or 6 years ago, it was immigration that was the biggest driver of Hispanic growth in the United States. But now there's enough Hispanics living in the United States, U.S. resident Hispanics, that even having just a little bit of above average fertility gives them that engine for growth that makes it a bigger contribution than immigration. So going forward, irrespective of what our immigration policy happens to be, I mean, we're going to just become a more diverse country. Now, for the Asian population, that's a much newer immigrant group, and the lion's share of the growth in the Asian population is still from immigration. But since Hispanics make up such a big part of the minority population, the fact that they're now beginning to grow largely from what demographers call natural increase, that means more births than deaths, then through immigration. This means that we're on track to become a more diverse nation no matter what happens to immigration.
William Fry is author of the book Diversity Explosion, How New Racial Demographics Are Remaking America. Think re-airs tonight at 9, and you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. One in every seven American adults cannot read, according to the latest statistics from the U.S. Department of Education. In North Texas, it's even worse. One in five adults are illiterate. Lisa Hembree is president and CEO of LIFT, Literacy Instruction for Texas. She says many people make a mistake in thinking adult illiteracy is an intelligence issue.
Most people who are illiterate have developed other skills that help them manage their lives fairly efficiently.
Hembree says 40% of the people who come to LIFT are native English speakers. Some dropped out of high school, others graduated.
Most of our folks have had a really negative experience in school, They were put in special education classes, or they were acting up and acting out.
The effects can be devastating on adults, says Catherine Thompson. She's the executive director of the Tarrant Literacy Coalition.
They often have a very difficult time holding a job. The vast majority of them live in poverty.
When an adult does learn how to read, it can be life-changing. Which brings us to our latest tale from the StoryCorps mobile booth. It ends its run in the Dallas Arts District this weekend. The story comes from George Brister, a Dallas man who learned to read at age 51. He worked various jobs for decades, but could never get ahead because he didn't know how to read or write. Last year, he went back to school at Lyft. He dropped by the StoryCorps booth with one of his teachers, Doug Butler, to talk about how learning to read changed his life.
Tell us a little bit about how it's possible that you are 51 years old and can't read and write yet.
Well, it was not easy. I went through a lot of bad things, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. I have never had a job that I wanted to do like any normal person. If you didn't like something, you didn't have to put up with it. Once I got on a job, I took whatever they did. I took whatever they paid me. Whether they were paying me right or not, I just made the best of what I had, you know. I had to work extra hard to keep the job so they won't be aware of my weakness.
When you say your weakness, are you talking about your reading?
My reading and writing.
Why wouldn't you want someone to know about that?
Because the abuse is even worse when people are aware of your weakness.
Not being able to read, obviously you're kind of trapped.
Trapped.
But in the last year, you've learned how to read.
Yes. Everything that everybody been saying about me, telling me I'm stupid, telling me I can't learn, and you a witness, and you know, can George Brister read?
You can read.
I can read.
What do you do with your reading now that you've never been able to do before?
I'm about to get a tablet. I've never been on a computer before. I'm learning how to do that. I'm about to start my Facebook page, my email page. I didn't know how to do none of that. None of that. I didn't find out that people was taking my money. You'd be surprised. You think somebody love you, and they be robbing you. You can't mess over me no more. The first time I took and had a chance and the opportunity to go to the doctor, and I normally got to tell people, well, I can't fill this out because I can't read and write. It was a good feeling when they handed me that application to fill out, do you, this the type of medicine you take, or you have high blood pressure, you sugared up. Just simple stuff like that, what people probably take for granted, I felt good because I could do it. We need to do something about this because I thought that it was over with. I thought that maybe it was just in my time that this stuff was going on.
That people couldn't read?
Yeah, that people couldn't read. But I'm finding out through church, through my wife was doing vocation Bible school, this stuff is still going on today.
That was George Brister, who visited the StoryCorps mobile booth in Dallas with his friend and teacher Doug Butler. StoryCorps is a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. These experts were selected and produced by KERA. You can hear the other stories from this series at keranews.org. Rain overnight, it'll move out tomorrow, and then it's back on Friday. 42 degrees now in Dallas. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.